Show with Andy Lamb and Sasha Shipway.
Sasha, special episode today, the one and only Joe Weston. I am absolutely excited and I hope this works. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Give me 1 second, I'm coming back.
Has she had enough already? Hasn't even started yet.
I'm back. Hello.
Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for this.
Sorry, I had to move. Just a few tech issues. Hello to you in England.
Okay, no messing around. We know that they're sometimes seen as the enemy, but who is your favourite English rose?
I feel like it would have to be Serena Guthrie because, number one, she's, like, so cool. And she's also an amazing athlete. And I've met her sausage dog, who's very cute. I met her at the I'm not sure what gender it is, at the World Cup when we were over in Liverpool.
How's your dog, Billy?
Billy is good. I put her outside because she was winching too, even though it's raining here in Melbourne. She's just not the brightest dog. She's very beautiful, but she's well-trained and everything, but she's not that bright. So she goes outside and she just like stands in the rain instead of going into her kennel where she would be dry. She hasn't quite figured that one out.
How old were you when you started playing Talent Academy?
Probably in like the under 15s age group. Like it was just after I'd had a pretty significant growth spurt. So everything seemed to coincide. So definitely took me some time to grow into my limbs. I was pretty uncoordinated, but I do think doing so many dance lessons when I was younger did really help me with that. And saying, doing ballet or jazz throughout the entire time period where I was growing really rapidly helped me become more coordinated and have more control of my limbs and my feet as well, which I think has really helped me, harness as much of my athletic talent as I can.
Well, look, I have to say recently you've been throwing some amazing moves online. You won the dance off. So you're an amazing dancer as well.
Thank you so much, Drew. Yes. It's my claim to fame. I'm actually not as great as what I was at 10 years old, but I've been trying really hard to keep it up. And I think dancing is a really great way to keep fit. It's a really good way just to express yourself and have fun and all those sorts of things.
The Australian pathway system is respected worldwide. We all know that. But tell us about your own story and progression through it.
So I'm trying to think. So we've all had different pathways. Mine probably followed a more traditional pathway that was seen through the diamonds, maybe up until most of the girls my age who have played or a few years before. So I finished school in 2011. After I graduated from high school, I moved to Canberra to live at the Australian Institute of Sport on residence, which is a program they don't offer anymore. Unfortunately, due to a whole range of different circumstances. So there was a whole group of us who were living there in the lead up to the World Youth Cup, which is an under 21 Australian team who goes and competes against other countries from the world. And like when I lived at the AIS in 2012, I was there, Courtney Bruce was there, Kim Revilliam was there, Paige Hadley, Gabby Simpson, I'm probably going to miss someone who was there at the time, Maddie Proud. There was a range of different players who have all continued to be really successful athletes. So I definitely selected a great group of players then. And once I finished, I spent 2 years there and we used to play in a team in the Australian Netball League, similar to the Victorian Fury. And after I finished, I left Canberra, I got offered a contract with the Melbourne Vixens. But previous to that, like I played representative netball when I was quite young in maybe under 15s. And I sort of found my way into the Victorian state team pathway from playing. And I played alongside a lot of my Vixens teammates. So Emily Mannix and Lizzie Watson and I are all the same age and Kate Maloney is a year older than us. So we all played our junior netball together when we were growing up.
I think a few of us here will be interested to know a little bit more about the importance of meals and snacks around the game, especially in the Suncorp there.
It depends on what time we're playing. So when we're on tour, it's very different to what I eat when I'm back home playing for the Vixens in Melbourne. If I'm playing a midday game, I normally just have a larger breakfast and I kind of skip lunch and then have a bigger meal after. If we're playing in the middle of the day, I have a really big dinner the night before. So I'm quite into carbo loading, as the old athletic tale goes. If we're playing in the evening, I struggle a bit more trying to fuel for games like that, because it's kind of difficult to time how much you eat, and I always don't want to eat. I want to have enough fuel, but I don't want to eat too much that I either feel like a bit sick or I feel a bit heavy when I'm playing. But coffee is always important, especially that's one of my part of my rituals.
What do you get up to pre-game? Any things you always like to do?
If I'm at home, I like to walk Billy, go and get a coffee, do a bit of a stretch. We always like to have a bit of a pre-game boogie just to shake out any nerves and, you know, get the good vibes going.
There's been so many games that you've taken part in at so many different levels. Who's probably been that most difficult opponent that you've faced?
Oh, I always find it, I mean, everyone's pretty tough when you get to our level, like internationally playing against someone like Maria Tutaier is really hard. Even someone like Lenise Poitgieter, like who plays for South Africa, she plays probably a different style of game to, like, she's a really strong holding shooter, but her hold's very, I guess, unorthodox to a degree. Within some court, like playing against like GTIP, she's so athletic and just so dynamic. So that's really tough for us as a defensive duo. And then any of the other goal attacks who are like incredible playmakers and really smart, like Nat Medhurst or Steph Wood, like their ability to see the space and other things like that, you know, create play is really difficult to defend against.
What are you doing during lockdown to stay connected with the rest of the family at this time? And what kind of things have you been doing to stay fit?
I've got two older brothers, so one of them lives in Singapore and one lives in Sydney. So we are not collectively in Melbourne at the moment as a family unit. So I'm based down in Melbourne here, but I was isolating up at our family farm, which is in regional Victoria, to help out my dad once all the rules sort of set into place. But now I'm back home in Melbourne. And what have I been doing to stay fit? I have been doing lots of running. So we have a program at the moment which is set out by the Melbourne Vixens and the VIS sports team. So that's been really great. Some weights, I've been trying to train at home. And then other things I've been doing sort of like group Zoom workouts with a few of my non-netball friends, either from uni or from school. So that's been really fun. And then, yeah, just riding my bike around when it was sunny, which it's currently not in Melbourne.
Tell us a bit about the conditioning you do, long runs, short sprints, etc.
So we do a variety of different conditioning. So over our pre-season, we have had maybe three conditioning sessions a week on top of all our other court work we do. So even at the moment for us at the Vixens during this time where we're trying to keep fit, there's definitely a variety of different training sessions we do. We have one where it's a 1 minute work rate with 30 seconds break. So obviously our work time in that is much greater than our rest time, which makes it really challenging. And then we have one that's even shorter than that. So it's 20 seconds on and 10 seconds off. So that's really hard. And we're running, you know, at 115% of our yo-yo scores. And then we also do even longer durations like that. We have a session which is just repeat 400 meter sprints, which is awful. I would not recommend that to anyone.
Have you ever played in another position? And just wondered how you found it.
I played in the midcourt when I was really young. So although I'm pretty tall now, so I'm 6 foot, 6 foot one and a half, 1.5, I'm 186 centimetres, I think. Even though the internet says I'm taller than that, they're lying to you. So the reality is I'm not that tall. So when I was younger, I had a really big growth spurt, like really quickly. And before that, I played in the midcourt. So I loved playing center because I loved being a part of all the play and getting the ball every second pass, as all midcourters love to do and run around. And then I played a bit of wing defense. And as I gradually got, I grew very quickly. I kind of got moved back into the defensive end and I really loved it. I liked playing on, you know, my instincts and being able to read the play and all those sorts of things.
Well, we know you're a defender, but are you any good at shooting? You've definitely got the height for the circle.
I'm so awful at shooting. It's borderline embarrassing. It is embarrassing because I played in the midcourt and then I played defensively. And I never played like basketball where you get the opportunity to shoot. Like I used to play goal attack for my school team occasionally, But the only reason they put me in goals is because I was like a foot taller than everyone. And I would miss so often, but I could just rebound it because I was so tall. My shooting percentage would have been bottom of the barrel, but it is really fun to shoot. I did love playing goal attack more so than goal shooter, but no, I'm not a very good shooter. But perhaps that's something I can work on with all of this, you know, time off.
We know you used to work at Deloitte, and how is it balancing that, and how is it now studying and playing, and what's that balance like?
It must have been just after the World Cup last year. I ended up, or it probably was a little bit later than that because it took a bit of time just to work out the logistics. I ended up resigning, mutual decision, just because we were going away for other Diamonds tours at the end of the year. And after we'd gone away on tour, I also wanted to have some time off to go on a holiday. And it just ended up being a little bit too difficult. So I'd had 2 years, 2 and a bit years in the graduate program, and I'd slowly been only having the option to work less and less during the week due to our Vixens training and other sort of commercial opportunities that would come up, plus all the travel we do when we go away on tour and then with our two major events, the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup. So I ended up having to step away, which was kind of it was a really difficult decision to make because I've never probably, like, it was always a part of my identity to have something as well as being an athlete. So now I'm back at uni again, which is kind of fun. But I find I'm getting a lot of, you know, benefit out of the work I do with the Players Association. So I'm hoping once I finish playing netball, that will hold me in really good stead for whatever career I decide to pursue. But I'm doing a Master's of Communication at Deakin University, which is really great. I've just started. Which is good timing given that we are in lockdown at the moment. It's giving me plenty to keep myself occupied with, and I'm really enjoying that. So I'm doing a few public affairs subjects. I'm still trying to figure out what will be the best fit for me post-netball or when I'll stop playing and all those sorts of things. But it's giving me a really good breadth of knowledge and a real chance to explore that. But I've always been someone who likes to structure their time pretty decisively. So that's something that's really helped me when I was working. And now that I'm back at uni, I like to, you know, really structure it out in my diary to make sure that I leave enough time to get things done.
We're getting into the good stuff now. Best favourite player?
It's a tough call. I think I've decided I'm going to go with Julie Corletto. Honourable mentions to, of course, Bianca Chatfield and Liz Ellis. But for me, when I watched Julie Corletto at the 2011 World Cup in Singapore, that was the last year I was in school. And I think for me, watching that and thinking, like, I would love to do that. And the fact that I get to, you know, I got to go to the World Cup last year still blows my mind, like 8 years after the fact.
Funniest teammate?
Ooh, okay. In our Vixens group, like, Emily and I get on very well. Lizzie's also pretty funny. She's like sneaky funny. Diamonds wise, Kelsey and I always got on very well. We have very similar senses of humor. Braz is always very entertaining. I mean, and Jamie Lee as well. I find her really funny.
One of the things that we've loved online is absolutely the Western words of the week. Have you got one?
I have one, actually. I think on my...
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm lying to you. I thought I did have one. I don't. Sorry about that.
And what's your favourite netball memory that you'll be reflecting on for years to come?
I mean, I've had so many amazing memories. I think debuting for the Diamonds the first time in Melbourne in front of my family was something that was really special to me. Any selection, I mean, is pretty incredible, but something that I think really stands out is when we walked out at the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony in 2018. I remember Gabby and I were dancing as they were playing music as we walked out, and it was such a surreal feeling because I actually danced in the opening ceremony in the 2006 Commonwealth Games. So to be there as an athlete, that's probably something I'll cherish forever.
Thanks so much for your time there, Jo. Stay safe, and we really hope that we can see you on a netball court soon.
I can't quite believe that. That was really enjoyable. We notice how dry my voice has gone. Thanks as always for your support. Send us a tweet. We're at The Netball Show.
And thanks to all of our listeners here at The Netball Show for giving that a listen. And we hope that you all stay safe too. Take care. Bye.
The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Sasha Shipway.